Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Study of God podcast. This is episode number 39. I am your host, Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International. This podcast is designed to give you a basic understanding of God, the Bible, and Christian beliefs. Dr. J. Dwight Pentecost said, "There is no higher activity in which the mind may be engaged than the pursuit of the knowledge of God." Let's start out by reading the Word of God itself. And today's passage of Scripture is Romans 5:5, which reads, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Today's words from a theologian are from Robert McAfee Brown. He said, "The church cannot be content to live in its stained glass house and throw stones through the picture window of modern culture." Our first topic for today is titled, "How Does God Work in the World?" Part 1, from the book Understanding Theology in 15 Minutes a Day by Dr. Daryl Aaron. And I want to remind you to take advantage of our special offer. If you enjoy this podcast, please feel free to purchase a copy of this book, Understanding Theology in 15 Minutes a Day. It is available on our website for just $25. Dr. Daryl Aaron writes, "The Bible teaches that having created the universe, God continues to be at work in it. He does not abandon it or leave it to operate on his own. Rather, he continues to be intimately and actively involved. This is generally known as the doctrine of divine providence, which more specifically is regularly described by means of three related ideas. Dimensions of divine providence. First, God sovereignly rules and controls his creation. The doctrine of divine governance or guidance, also referred to as God's sovereign will or sovereign decrees. God had a plan for his creation even before he had created anything. And everything he does is for the purpose of working out that plan. His highest purpose in every act is to glorify himself. As supremely sovereign and omnipotent, what he has determined to accomplish, he will accomplish as he guides his creation and history to fulfill his designs. And, of course, we must remember that God's thoughts are not our thoughts. Second, God preserves in existence what he has called into existence, the doctrine of preservation. The implication is that if God did not do this, what he had created would simply cease to exist. Not only did God create everything through his unequaled power, he also sustains everything through that same power. Third, God works through his creation in order to carry out his plans. The doctrine of concurrence, meaning that God works in harmony, cooperation, or agreement with creation. For example, he controls weather, and through it, he provides rain that then nourishes vegetation, animals, and people. He also works through people and events in history. If the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we will continue looking at this topic in our next podcast. Our second topic for today is titled Theology of the Synoptic Gospels, Part 6 from the Moody Handbook of Theology by Dr. Paul Enns. And I want to remind you to take advantage of our special offer. If you benefit from this podcast, if you enjoy it, please feel free to purchase a copy of this book, The Moody Handbook of Theology. It is available on our website for just $50. Introduction to Synoptic Theology, Mark. Author, the early church gave strong witness to John Mark's authorship of the second gospel. Papias, writing at about AD 150, stated, Mark, having become the interpreter of Peter, wrote down accurately everything that he remembered. Irenaeus, writing about AD 185, stated, Now after their decease, Peter and Paul, Mark, the disciple and interpreter of Peter, also handed down to us in writing what Peter had preached. Date, because Irenaeus testified that Mark wrote after the death of Peter and Paul, and because Paul probably died in the summer or fall of AD 66, Mark likely wrote his gospel in AD 66 or AD 67, because the destruction of Jerusalem is not mentioned. It is certain that Mark wrote before AD 70. The audience, writing about AD 195, Clement of Alexandria states that Roman people asked Peter to write an account of the life of Christ for them. It is likely that Mark helped Peter fulfill that request from the Romans. Internal evidence through a translation of Aramaic terms also indicates a non-Jewish audience. The theological purpose. Because the Romans were a people of action rather than thought, Mark presents Christ as the mighty worker rather than the profound thinker. The man who conquers by doing. Mark's style as well as his content reflects that theological purpose. Because Mark presents Christ as a man of action, he omits the genealogy and birth narratives and begins with the baptism of Christ, moving swiftly into the public ministry of Christ. The capstone of Mark's emphasis of Jesus is his portrayal of Christ. Is his portrayal of Christ as the servant who came to minister and give his life as a ransom for many. Mark's goal was to present his Roman readers with the dynamic of the Son of Man as servant, thereby eliciting faith in him. In our next episode, we will continue looking at the theology of the Synoptics. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and we thank you for your holy gospels that proclaim the story, the true story of your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, for Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of our sins, our failures and faults. Fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit to proclaim from those gospels the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that others may come to know you as Savior. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Beloved, before we close, I want to remind you that while it is important to engage in the study of God, it is far more important that you have a relationship with God. I fear that there are many people who will die knowing a lot about God, but not really knowing God. You don't want to be in that number. If you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you want to get to know Him today, here's how. accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law at some point in your life. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, dear friend, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now without Jesus Christ. If he is not your Savior, that's where you're headed, according to the Scriptures. In fact, Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible states very clearly in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Yes, I know, dear friend, this is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said himself in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," that includes you, because if you are still living in this world, God loves you. So for God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever, that word whosoever means anybody at any time, that includes you, believeth in him, trusts in him, has faith in him, Jesus Christ, should not perish in a place called hell, but have everlasting life in heaven. Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him in heaven. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart, your heart, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Dear friend, pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. Until next time, my beloved, may God bless you and keep you until we meet again.